Okay, today is Wednesday, February 6th. This is the Women's Chumash Shir. We just started Parshas Vayera, Bereshit, Perek Yudchet. Okay, Rabotai. We are at the very beginning of Parshat Vayera. Beginning of Parshat Vayera, and we read the first two, three psukim, but focused on the primary issue in Pasuk Aleph of Perek Yudchet. Vayera Elav Hashem Be'elonei Mamre V'hu Yoshev Petach Ha'oel Kichom Ayom. So the question which we identified initially was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu appears to him. Doesn't say to whom, it says to him. We assume it's Avraham, and there is no dialogue whatsoever between Avraham and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Just says, Vayera Elav Hashem. That's it. And then Avraham looks around and he sees these three people. We're not even going to get to that today, the next pasuk. That was the question. So we had said that Rashi cited the Gemara, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to be Menachem, to be Mevaker Cholim. Avraham had just undergone circumcision. That is the conclusion of Parshat Lech Lecha. And during his recovery, HaKadosh Baruch Hu came to visit him. And there was no necessity to engage in any dialogue, because he didn't have a message to share with him. He just came to see him. So the little chit-chat that they may have engaged in, talking about whether the Super Bowl was boring or not, that the Torah didn't feel terribly noteworthy that we should talk about the chit-chat between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Avraham. But there was no meaningful message to him directly, nor to share with anybody else. And the majority of the Parshanim, as we mentioned, accept this interpretation. We had seen Svarno, who said that this is nothing to do with Bikur Cholin, but far more sophisticated. The act of circumcision is identified as a brit, as a covenant, and a covenant needs both parties in order to put it to in effect. And the covenant of Brit Milah is, as the Torah itself said in chapter 17, four times, Brit Beini Ubeinechem. It is a covenant between first Beini Ubeincha, first between Avraham and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and then subsequently between HaKadosh Baruch Hu and his and Avraham's descendants. So Avraham was one of the participants in this covenant, so the other participant has to be there as well. So after the Torah states that Avraham and all of his people who in his family and those people who he acquired and those people who he was friends with who underwent circumcision, the Torah says that in the last pasuk. So now, Vayera Elav Hashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes and appears to him to say, good, I'm delighted you decided to accept the covenant. And he doesn't have to say anything because the covenant had already been spelled out in five times in the previous chapter. I will be your God and you will be my nation. That was the covenant that was established. So all you need is the two participants to be present. We also pointed out this very ingenious suggestion of Svarno that the reason why we bring a chair to the Brit is not, as I showed you last week, in the name of the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer, which is the most famous explanation, that we call the chair Kisei Shel Eliyahu, because our Eliyahu is going to be present, due to the fact that according to tradition, no proof in the text, according to tradition, Pinchas is Eliyahu, and Pinchas engaged in zealotry to defend the honor of God, as it is described at the beginning of Parshas Pinchas, after Zimri ben Salu, the Nasi of Shevet Shimon, had the relations with this Midianite woman by the name of Cozbi Batsur. So because Pinchas stood up for the honor of God, HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded him that you will be present at every single Brit. To acknowledge the presence of Eliyahu, we have a Kiseh Shel Eliyahu. That is the Midrash called the Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer. And the Sfarno said, no, the chair is to welcome the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, not Eliyahu. It's to welcome God, because another baby is undergoing this covenant. And as a covenant, we need always both participants. Here it's the little pisher and HaKadosh Baruch Hu there. That's what we accomplished last week. Today, I'd like to... I had mentioned to you that there is a lengthy Ramban last week. We didn't get a chance to see the Ramban as yet. But we're going to start with that today. So take page 3 of the handout. It's number 1, but it's identified page 3. Tosis asks, why did he do that? And he leaves it Tzarechian. Doesn't have much of an answer. The reason why is because last week it was page 3. But we didn't get to it. So instead of running it off again, I just pulled it out and then added 5 and 6 for something else. So the Ramban writes, it's smack in front of your nose. First he begins by quoting Rashi, as he often does. Vayera Eilav, Lashon Rashi, Livakere Tachole. And then we pointed out that he says that it was which day after the circumcision was it? Day number 3. Doesn't say it anywhere in the text, but we learned from another episode that the third day for adults who undergo circumcision, the third day is the most painful and difficult to recover from. Where did we learn that out? From Shimon Levi in the context of Shechem. Because they attacked on the third day, as the text itself says, "Vayhi bayom hashlishi bihi yito ko'avim," when they were in agony, in pain. Fine. So the Ramban makes reference to that. Now go to the next paragraph. U'b'sefer more hanavuchim, and in the Rambam's Guide to the Perplexed. And as I always tell you, it's called the Guide to the Perplexed. Even when you read it, you remain perplexed. The Rambam did not spell a lot of things out in his guide. He deliberately disguised a lot of ideas because he spoke openly of what he believed, and he knew that he would get into a lot of trouble by saying such things. But there were a lot of startling, startling statements in the Mori Nevuchim. He gives us the background of many of the Averot of the Torah, and claims, I know that they have pagan origins. Basa b'chalav. Rambam believes we're not allowed to cook meat and milk because that was a pagan practice. A pagan practice. That they took their young gedi, the long calf, and cooked it in its mother's milk. So since it was a pagan practice, therefore God prohibited it. The Rambam says that I am not permitted to cut my peyot, because that's the way the pagan priests took a haircut. They took a soup bowl, put it on their head, and took the razor and ran it around the soup bowl. That's why I can't cut my peyot. So a lot of people, when they hear those types of things, they start saying, oh, well, there's no more pagan practice. Why do we have to observe such a thing? First of all, the Rambam may not be 100% right. Maybe there's a different background. And of course, the most famous thing where the Rambam wrote in the Mori Nevuchim is that animal sacrifice is a lower level of dedication to God than prayer. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed korbanot because the Jew lived in a pagan environment and everybody was offering tangible animal sacrifices. But now that we have elevated ourselves to the model of prayer, there is no need to restore korbanot again. Your eyes are beaming, but that's what the Rambam said. And he got into a lot of trouble. And in his halachic work, he played nishvisenik, as if he never said something like that. Because he writes in his halachic work, of course, in his Mishnah Torah, that there will be korbanot, and he gives you all the details of every single korban. And but, you know, there are segments of our community, this conservative and reform movement, have taken tefillat musaf and recorded it in the past tense. It's not v'sham na'aseh lefanecha et korbanot chavoteinu. It's shesham asu lefanecha et korbanot chavoteinu. There, in the Mikdash, they brought their korbanot. Not going to bring them again. And it's based on the Rambam. But he got in a lot of trouble. People attacked him mercilessly for making such statements. So the Rambam, in Bayre Nevuchim, often says things which are started. And here the Ramban is going to expose one of them. Ubesefer Mayri Nevuchim Ne'emar, ki haparsha klal uprat. This particular entire unit has to be understood in a more broader context, klal, and a prat, and then understanding the details that might be applicable. Amar hakatuv tchila, kinir'a elav Hashem bimar'ot hanevu'ah. God appeared to Avraham, not really. Up until now, Rashi and Sfarno believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually came. Vayeru elav Hashem. Says the Rambam, that's not true. He appeared to him in a vision. Bimarot hanivuah. Ve'eich haita hamar'eh hazot. What did appear to Avram in this vision? None. Ki nasa einav bimar'eh. Ve'hine gimalan Hashem nitzavim alav. Avram is in this stupor, like every other prophet. And he sees three, in his dream, in his vision, he sees three people coming to the door. Vayoma, and he says to these in his dream, Imna matzasi chen beinecha. Zesipur masha omar bimare hanuvua le'echot mehem hagadol shabahem. This is a recording of what Avram says in a dream to the most respected of the three people. Of the three people. V'im b'mareh, so point number one now says the Ramban, if Mr. Rambam, you are 100% correct, it is nothing but a vision, lo nira elav rak anashim achlim basar, what didn't really happen? What didn't really happen? None of the people were eating meat. Nobody was eating anything. Eich omar vayeru elav Hashem, hine lo nire lo Hashem lo b'mare v'lo b'machshava, v'kacha lo nimtza b'chol ha-nevu'ot. When it says vayeru elav Hashem, usually what happens, God talks to you in the dream. God, that's what vayeru elav Hashem means. God appears to you in a vision. And you hear God somehow communicate to you. Here, God doesn't say anything. So what is the vision being, what's being projected in the vision? Three people coming to the door, Avram running to shecht an animal, making a good sandwich, Sarah baking guk ugot, lushi vasi ugot. Why is all this information necessary in the context of a dream? Even if you want to suggest that there is a message that God wanted to communicate through this, why is it necessary to describe that Avram decided to shecht the animal? Who needs it? If it happens in reality, we know the lesson. So the Torah is telling us, number one, what happened, and it's teaching us a valuable lesson. Rashi, we saw the that quoted it, that it is more important to attend to visitors to be a machnis oreach than to speak to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Because Avram told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, excuse me, sir, I have to attend to some visitors. So we understand the lessons of it. But in this vision, who needs, if it's only a vision, what's going on here? V'kacha lo nimtza b'chol ha-nevuot. V'hine lidvarav lo lasha Sarah ugot. Sarah didn't need any cookies. V'lo asa Avraham ben Bakar. And Avraham did not slaughter an animal. V'gam lo tza haka Sarah. Sarah never laughed in reality. Because this whole thing with the three people, and what message do the three people give? That Sarah's going to give birth to the child, and to destroy Sodom and Tzeloth. Well, in reality, Sarah never laughed. So why is HaKadosh Baruch Hu getting angry at Sarah? We will read this in a couple of weeks. If she was only laughing in a dream, that's why God's going to be angry? Because Avraham saw Sarah laughing in a dream, that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu was getting angry at Sarah? And it says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Lama ze tzachaka Sarah. Why is Sarah laughing? What do you mean? She never laughed. This whole thing is nothing but a dream. Rak hakol mar'ed. Ve'im kein bo hachalom hazeh berov inyan ki chalomot hasheker. This vision looks like, in the majority of what, how do you define this? A false bunch of lies, a false dream. Kimat to'elet laharot lo kol zeh. I can't understand from God's vision point of view, if He wants to communicate to Avram a message, why is it necessary in a vision form to show him all these things? Oh, you were slaughtering an animal. Why is that necessary? V'chein Omar, so too did Rambam say, Be'inyan vayeavek ish imo. That's Yaakov with the Malach. Exactly. So what do you think the Ramban's going to ask? Don't look. What do you think the Ramban's going to ask? Okay, he says it's a dream. What's the Ramban going to ask him?
How could he be wounded?
Exactly. The Torah says that what? That Yaakov was limping.
Right.
How did he get to be a limp? Because he saw something in a dream. That's ludicrous. That you're going to limp around because you saw somebody touching you in a dream. That's going to cause you to limp. And the Torah reports that that's exactly what happened. Shahakol marin v'lo yadati, in line number 2 of that next paragraph, lama hayat soleya al yirecho behakitz. Why suddenly was he what? Limping after he woke up. V'lama amar ki ra'iti Elohim panim el panim vati natzel nafshi. Why would Yaakov make the statement, I saw God face to face, and I survived that? You survived that. If it was a dream, what's the problem? If you really encounter HaKadosh Baruch Hu, there are issues. There are issues. Moshe says in Parshat Ki Tisa, when after the Chet HaEgel, when Moshe asks to understand the way of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, why do certain things happen to people? He wants to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu's sense of mishpat. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? Ki lo yirani ha'adam v'chach. I can't show my face to you what's happened. I can't explain things to you. Because if you're going to see me and try to gain a glimpse of what the way I operate, you don't survive. Also, there is a pasuk in, please open up to Parshat Bamidbar for a second, the last pasuk of Parshat Bamidbar. The last pasuk of Parshat Bamidbar. So, it's Perek Dalet something. I don't know the pasuk number, but it's Perek Dalet. It's the last part. V'lo yaru kivala sakodesh. Pasukha, Peridalit Pasukha. Peridalit of Sefer Bamidbar, Pasukha is the last Pasuk of Parshat Bamidbar. What does the Torah say? What does the Torah say? V'lo yavo lirot et akodet kivala. What does it say? Kivala sakodesh. It means, if you walk into the Kodesh HaKodashim without permission, what's going to happen? You're going to die. For Mason. You're going to die. You can't walk in and see the Shekhinah. Impossible. I can't explain why, but that's a phenomenon. It's described a couple of times. There is a Mishnah in Maseches Yuma that confirms this. Confirms this. As you well know, during the Second Temple days, there was no Aron HaKodesh in the Kodesh HaKodashim. There was no ark with the Luchot in it. It was buried at the end of Bayit Rishon on the Har HaBayit. It was buried on the Har HaBayit. Because Shlomo HaMelech, on the night that he built the completed the building of the Beit HaMikdash, had a dream. And the dream said, the Beit HaMikdash that you just built is going to be destroyed. So he told his children to tell his children to tell his children to have this this little tunnel. And if you see the destruction of the Beit HaMikdash imminent, take the Aron, throw it in, lock it up, and throw away the keys. They put the Aron in there. They put the Shemen HaMishcha, the anointing oil. They put the Urim V'Tumim, that the breastplate that the Kohen Gadol used to wear, and he used to light up with the answers to the questions, all of that was put in there. They never did. I never understood why, when Ezra built the second Beit HaMikdash, he never tried to unearth it. Maybe he didn't know where it was, but there was a cleaning man in the Beit HaMikdash. Cleaning man is allowed to be there because he has to clean it, and he kicked the tile. And it got loose, a tile in the mikdash. And he looked in. And he died right away on the spot. And Chazal, the other Kohanim, understood, he saw the Aron. And it says, Kivala Sakot, you can't. You can't see it. And they put it back and never brought it out. So the Ramban says here, that's what Yaakov is offering a special thank you to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Ki ra'iti et Elohim panim el panim vati natzel nashi. Mazel lahatzil. Saved. My life is saved. I should have died like everybody else. But if it was nothing but a dream, what do you have to worry about? He never saw HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Doesn't include seeing HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a dream. Ki ha-nevi'im lo yifchadu sheyamutu mipnei maros ha-nevuah. Prophets, nevi'im, were never afraid that they were going to die as a result of what? Of seeing a nevuah. They were never afraid of that. Ukvar ra'a mare gedola v'nichbedes misos. Nevi'im have seen much more significant episodes than somebody, an angel, what? Grappling with him. What did Yecheskel see? Right? The chariots itself. He didn't die, sword of Nevuah. Nothing happened to him. Next paragraph. V'hine lefi da'ato zot. And according to this, Yitzkarech lomar kein be'inyan lot. We will also have to say the exact same thing that the Torah will describe in chapter 19 concerning the episode of Lot. Ki lo bo'u ha-malachim el beitar. The angels never came to his house and knocked on the door, and what would they say? Please bring me your kids, your daughters. None of this ever happened. V'lo afar lahem matzot. And he didn't bake any matzahs for them. Vayochel, and they ate it. Never happened. Aval hakol haya mar'eh.
The in ya'ale et Lot lema'alak mar'eh hanuvah.
If Lot had become such an exalted prophet that he has already seen visions of HaKadosh Baruch Hu,
Eich yihiyu anshei Sodom hara'im v'hachata'im nevi'im.
How could it possibly be that amongst a nation that is considered ra'im v'chata'im lashem me'aud,
not just bad, but ra'im v'chata'im lashem me'aud, how could they house within them, be privileged to have what? A prophet.
How did they know that these angels had come to his house? How do they know? If it's just a dream, I'm asking the question. What happened in the story? The other people came and surrounded the house. Right? So Lot had to do something heroic. Fine, right? How did anybody know that anybody had come to Avram's house, to Lot's house, if this whole episode was nothing but a dream?
The Rambam generally, so the thinking of the Rambam.
Oh, all the time.
If you think about the Morning of Rokhans, thinking to a particular segment of society.
Correct.
Thinking to those people who are, it's like rebellious adolescents, kind of. It's not the normal. So he has to be, it's like a, some of the Rambam's views here are like more rational explanation of how things happen in the Torah. And that would address a particular segment of society who's doubting.
Okay.
Or written for doubting.
Okay.
So it's different than Mishnah Torah.
I understand. But the Ramban, yes, he has the greatest respect for the Ramban. In his introduction to his critique of the Rambam Sefer HaMitzvot, he has a long description saying the Rambam is the Nesher HaGadol, the great eagle, upon whom all of Klal Yisrael are being carried. But I have to disagree with him from time to time. It's not like the Ravid who writes about the Rambam. There's another person who writes, and he writes, it's not worth the paper it's written on. Little children think like the Rambam are little children. Svarat ne'arim. The Ramban has highest regard, but he attacks them left and right. Yes?
Obviously the Rambam knew all of this.
Correct.
Yeah.
You know, but so what prompted him to say that it was all Amara, that it was all Amara?
The problem was, even the Ramban didn't get a chance to ask the Rambam those questions. It's like all the questions that Tosfot asks on Rashi. There are thousands of questions. Rashi, I am sure, could defend himself and explain every single time he made something. And Tosfot says, hey, there's a Gemara over there that seems to be against you. Rashi said, I can answer. But he died before his grandchildren had a chance to code it. And then that's it. There's a long line. There's a long line of people up in heaven standing there ad hayom hazeh asking the Rambam, what compelled you to say this? And there are other things. The Rambam doesn't believe that animals talk. So the Bilam episode, where his donkey is talking to him, the Rambam says, that's a dream. That didn't happen. Of course it makes sense. That's a dream. There are so many things where we find it a little difficult to accept. The Rambam says it was just a dream. But the Ramban's going to attack him for that too. Not now, in Parshas Bo. Yeah.
In the way we're describing that, the sight or the vision of Hashem directly is so fatal to the recipient. It seems almost like the Mareh is Hashem sort of protecting the recipient. It's like an act of love that he's coming to an Mareh so as not to harm him by the direct communication.
Okay, but the Ramban will later say, and he attacks it, Ramban, you too acknowledge that all prophets saw this b'mareh, with the exception of Moshe. He's going to get to that. This is nothing new, that God comes in a vision to people. You acknowledge that. Every Navi has that. But you don't give details in a vision of things that are totally unnecessary, unrelated. What you do in the vision is, you say, what's going to happen? That's what you say. But all these other details about cooking and baking, why are those necessary in the vision if you want to tell us Sarah's going to have a child. Lot's going to be destroyed. Lot's going to be saved. I mean, this thing that he cooked for these three people. Who cares?
No, it seems like the antithesis of it. I mean, the Marash should be a prescient conveyance of knowledge of the future and not being stuck in mundane details of cooking and eating.
Well, that's why he's saying. That's why the Ramban's asking. Why would that be part of a vision from HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Relevant information about what's going to happen in the future is the essence of Nevuah. Yes. But cooking the meal is not. That's exactly the Ramban's question. Therefore, the Ramban believes that all this happened.
And I want to elaborate on this because it's a very important idea. We have to know what the Rambam says about such things. About such things. Let's continue. He continues. Look at, for a second, go to page 4 for a minute. And the Ramban says, I'm not going to go so far as to say it's dreams. I have another suggestion to make about some of the things which the Ramban just mentioned. The bottom of that first column on page number 4. Avo b'makom, asher yazkir hamalachim b'shem anoshim, ki inyan haparsha hazot uparshat lot. Whenever the Torah uses an expression, a human being, and doesn't name that individual, vayimtzaehu ish, vayeyoveik ish imo. Says the Ramban. What did the Ramban say about those things? Those are dreams. Says the Ramban, they're not dreams. What is this? V'chein v'ayim tza'ehu ish. Anybody remember where that happened?
In Shechem, when Yosef's going to get directions.
Correct. Yosef is going in accordance with his father's directive to check on the welfare of his brothers. He's a little lost. Vehine so'e basodeh, as fablonjit, like we say in Yiddish, fablonjit, and vayimtzae ish. Whenever the word ish appears, vayeyavek ish, vayimtzae ish, says the Ramban, al das rabosenu, hu kvod nivra b'malachim. Such an individual is not a real person, it's an angel. Yikare etzel hayodim. Such a thing is identified in the minds of the knowers. That's one of the Ramban's code words for people who know Kabbalah. He doesn't like to explain it much. These Kabbalists know it's called Malbush. What is Malbush? Exactly. It's a garb. It's really cut. It's a disguise for whom? For the angel, for the malach. Yusag le'enei basar b'zechi hanefashot kichasidim u'bnei hanevi'im. That if a person is worthy of it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will allow him to see this angel, but not see the angel's form, but some type of malbush, some type of garb is on top of him. So what does he think it is? Thinks it's a human being. However, I can't really explain why HaKadosh Baruch Hu does things like that. You want to award somebody an experience, so you're letting him or her come in contact with God, with angels, with spirituality, but the person can't handle it, so what do? They put some type of garb, balbush upon him, so whenever the Torah uses the word ish, always think along those lines. It is HaKadosh Baruch Hu appearing as an angel, but you don't see the person as the angel, you see the person as a human being. But it's not a dream. It is not a dream. It's a real appearance. It's a real appearance. V'hamakom asher timtza bo ri'iyat Hashem u'dibur malach, o ri'iyat malach v'dibur Hashem, and the places in where you find, as in our text, Vayera Elov Hashem. Or it says that God appears, and who's speaking? Who's speaking? An angel is speaking. Or an angel is speaking, and or you see an angel, and who's speaking? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is speaking. Ka'katuv b'divrei Moshe b'tfilat nevuato, u'b'divrei Zechariah, and so on and so forth. Amru Chachamim, I'm on line 3 on the top of the page. Rishon, Rishon, Mistalev. V'inyan histalkut tavo tavinzos midvar Noah in Tizke Elov. If you will be privileged to understand it, I'll explain it to you, but he doesn't bother explaining. So what happens here is saying that there are times when an angel appears. We will see at the end of this Parsha, Parsha Vayera, in the Akedah. What happened in the Akedah? Who came to Avraham to tell him to offer his son on the Mizbeach? HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself came initially.
Yeah.
But who came and stopped it?
An Aleph.
So the Ramban says, I owe you an explanation. What is this interplay between God appearing and an angel speaking, or an angel appearing and God speaking? What is this interplay? What's happening? I owe you an explanation, but I'm not going to tell it to you. Because that's only for those people, you know, who knows. I can't tell you what's really happening. Okay. But the whole point of it is that it wasn't a dream. None of this is a dream. So there is a fundamental debate between the Rambam and the Ramban how to look at major episodes in the Chumash. Major episodes. According to the Rambam, the Torah has lots of dreams which are trying to communicate a message through the stories that are being told in this particular dream. And according to the Ramban, none of that is true. You can't make such a statement about an episode in the Torah. And as we saw, he's willing to attack the Ramban and say, fine. But remember that. It's a very famous Shitas HaRambam. That this and many others are nothing but dreams. Point number 2 of this pasuk is Be'elonei Mamre. That takes care of Vayera of Hashem. Yes.
Okay, is there any significance to it being Vayera Elav Hashem as opposed to Vayar Hashem Elav? Because there were some other places where
there might be. I have not seen it. It doesn't ring a bell to me.
Meaning in other incidents,
yes.
Like by Yaakov.
Correct. I don't know. I'd have to look and see if there's any contextual or something or meaning. You know, I have not seen that. But then the next phrase of the pasuk is Be'elonei Mamre. So take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Rashi cites a medrash. Be'elonei Mamre, who shenasan lo eitza al hamigla. Mr. Mamre was the one who gave advice to Avram that he should engage in what? In the Brit Milah. Yeah. And therefore, lefikach nigla alav b'chalko. Therefore, this entire vision takes place where? In his chalek. What's Rashi talking about? When did we learned that whole Perek Yud Zion? We learned that for months. Not once did Mamre appear in the discussion, and not once did Avram ask him, should I undergo circumcision? And even if it happened, as we will soon see, according to the Midrash, it did, we'll ask the question in a second. So take page now, page number 5. Page number 5. Page 5. Which is the Midrash Rabbah, right here. Which is, I want you to ask the question on the Midrash. Top of the page. Bisha'ah she'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu LaAvraham Limol. At the time when HaKadosh Baruch Hu, page 5. It's a little erased, but it's the only thing with four lines on it. Bisha'ah she'amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Limol. Halach v'nimlach begimel ohava. Abraham went to consult with his three best friends. Three best friends. Who are they? Oner, Eshkol, and Mamre. We know that they are his three best friends because in chapter 13 and in chapter 14, in chapter 14, when Avram decides to go attack the five kings, against the five kings in the story of Kedorlah Omer, he uses his friends to help gather some people. And the Torah tells us, Oner, Eshkol, and Mamre were there to help him out. Omar lo Oner, kvar ben kuf shana ata. You're already 100 years old. Ve'ata holech u'mitza'er es atzmacha. You're going to put yourself into such terrible predicament of pain when you're 100 years old. What are you, ripped? What are you, ripped? Amalai Eshkol said to Eshkol. Eshkol said, Mat ata holech u'misayim es atzmecha ben sonecha. Why are you going to put yourself in a predicament in which you will be standing out against your enemies? Your enemies are going to be able to identify you as what? Not one of them. Because you will be circumcised and they will not. The Midrash often uses circumcision as a way of taunting the Jew. The Midrash in Parshat Bishalach, when Amalek came to challenge Am Yisrael, says the Midrash, they took the foreskin of all of the children of Am Yisrael who were circumcised in Egypt, somehow they got to Mitzrayim and took all the foreskin, and threw it up heaven bound, and they said to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's not a phone, so don't look. It's an insulin pump. So it's just telling you something. Okay, they said, here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, take your foreskins and let's see if it's going to help you, help them against my attack. And Amalek was about to attack Am Yisrael for the very first time, a couple of weeks after having left Mitzrayim, they used Milah as the symbol that you happen to be what? You happen to be different, and we're going to attack you. In fact, Avram used that as well. According to a different Midrash, God sends the three angels because Avram complained and said, nobody's coming to visit me since when? Since my Milah. Because they know I'm different now. I'm not one of them. So Avram himself sends it. So I come, don't worry, I'll take care of you. There's going to be three people coming right at the door. So this idea of the Milah is something that was always used as a marker to identify we are not like them. We are not like them. So Mr. Eshkol said, why do you want to do something like that to yourself? Amalei Mamre, so Mamre said to him in the middle of line 2, Elohecha she'amad lecha b'kivshan ba'esh u'bimilachim Uberei Avon, your God who came to your assistance three times already. One, in the Kibshan Ba'esh, that is not in the text, that's only in the Midrash, where Avram was thrown into the fire because he challenged a paganism, and of course nothing happened to him. His brother Haran
saw that,
jumped in, and he was burned. Okay, that's one. Two is Milachim, in the battle against the kings. Avram with 318 people defeated five mighty kings. That's in the text itself, I don't need a medrash. Uberei Avon, Mazarei Avon,
famine.
We read at the beginning of, in the middle of Perek Yud-Bet, Vahira Avaret. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu provided for him. He went down to Mitzrayim and he had plenty to eat. So this God spared you on three occasions. V'hadavar hazeh she'amar lecha, lamul. Now God, this God tells you to say, Ein ata shomeya? And you're not going to listen to this God? Amalai HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, Ata natata lo eitza lamul. You are the one who advised Avram to circumcise. Chayecha, I swear by your life. He merely means I'm swearing by my life. She'eni nigla alav, I am not going to what? Reveal myself. Lo mipaltin shel aner, not in the palace of aner. Velo mipaltin shel eshkol, and not in the palace of eshkol. Ela mipaltin shel cha. Only in your palace, Mr. Mamre. Dohu nechsev, that is confirmed by the pasuk Vayera Elav Hashem be'elo naman, elo neiman. Very nice little story. What question? I don't know who the author of this medrash is. Whoever he is, what question do you want to ask him when he walks through the door?
Be
That's an interesting question. It doesn't say that Mamre saw him. Avram saw Be'elo Neimar. But what question do you want to ask on the whole story?
Why would Avram?
What do you ask questions for? You mean to tell me Avram didn't know whether he was going to fulfill God's commandment or not? I have to go check with my friends? Should I explore? What in the? I have no idea. This medrash has always bothered me. Why would the medrash put Avram in a compromising position? And it generates the impression, had all three said no, what would he have done? He would not have done it. Otherwise, why bother asking? If you have no interest in their response, so it's good thing that Mamre recommended. Yeah, I think you should do it. And had Mamre had the same line of thinking as Aner and Eshkol, Mitam Avram would have not done it. Kodesh Baruch Hu asked him to do it. I know what the difficulty is. Why does it have to say Be'eloni Mamre? I hear that. But to give an answer, concoct a story like this, and that's how you justify the use of Be'eloni Mamre, puts Avraham in a position which is not the most positive way to portray Avraham Avinu. Yes?
I think it also illustrates how we all go through things before we do decide to do the right thing. So we all go through the things that both.
Yeah, but we might, I agree with you, we all go through those things internally with HaKadosh Baruch Hu often, but we don't vocalize them and ask somebody else, you think I should do what HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants me to do? Why would anybody do that? Especially Avraham.
He's one who found.
Of course. It's just, as I said, I don't quite understand I want you to know this medrash. It's a very famous medrash. Rashi makes reference to it right at the beginning. Rashi doesn't give you the whole story. He just says, because he gave him the idea. The medrash at least gives you the background. Yes.
Nimlach
means. He consulted. Yes, Nimlach means to consult. Yes, he consulted with Aner, Eshkar, and Mamre. Ken?
I
I don't have an answer. Like I always say, the most important thing is to identify the difficulty. That means you understand it. And the answer to that is, Funakasha start minished. You don't die if you have a question. You can live without answers. But if you don't, if it doesn't bother you, that means you don't really understand it.
I still don't know my own thing. I can ask you friends and
still you're okay, perhaps. Then why'd you ask?
To hear. And then make up my own.
Okay, that's possible. I'm not saying no. Yeah.
Like in
Jewish,
when Hashem wants to create man, he asks
the malachim. Good. So who? That, yeah. But that's a proposal to do something. Nobody had a statement there said, yeah, exactly. HaKadosh Baruch Hu say, I'm making man. Oh, you think I'm going to ask the angels? Should I ask man? He already said he's going to do it. There he's proposing something. And even there, we, if you remember, we had a lot of difficulty understanding what does that mean? Na'aseh Adam. Yes.
I don't necessarily feel that Abraham was asking them what he should do. He may have been asking them.
Well, they certainly answered that.
Yeah, but
what was his question?
His question was, "This is what HaKadosh Baruch asked me to do."
And
what do you think about it? That doesn't mean that he was going to follow their.
Okay, that's what you say. Okay, that's possible, but then the Medrash is even, I want to say it carefully. It's less worthy of being a Medrash. If Avram wasn't considering, what's the whole big deal? You're playing games with them, you know. It's
in the Nase, let's make us man. He's including whoever he's talking to.
Right.
In this. It might be an effort to include, because he will feel left out, he might want to include them in the decision, even though he knows he's going to do what Hashem says. But
for what purpose?
For
what purpose?
To not be left out.
His worry is he's going to be left out.
To get more people to believe.
It's possible. I'm not bowled over with that. I hear you didn't tackle me. I hear. Okay, it's possible. Yeah.
Maybe they were joined. Yeah.
What?
Maybe they were joined.
Okay.
Maybe he's trying to get them involved.
Okay. So it is possible. It's possible. Then again, he was never really considering what their opinion was. Just wanted to get them and see if they would be interested in joining. Perhaps. Yeah.
Couldn't we just say that Elamim could be the name of a place, and that would answer the question, and not involve?
Of course, that's the simple shot. There's no question. But the question is, why is it so important to know that piece, where it was? Why is it sometimes really? That's a legitimate question. Why is it so important for us to know that? And secondly, we already know that he's there in Perek Tes Vav and Tes Zayin. Already says that Avram's living Be'ilo Ne'amre. Why repeat it again?
I can answer the repetition. But
yeah. Finally, one last point for today. One last point. If you go to page 6 for a second. Kli Yakar has another explanation as to why it says Vayera a love, not Vayera Hashem El Avraham. So we answered because he's not necessarily talking to him, he's just appearing there. Fine. Says the Kli Yakar, Lo Nemar Vayar Hashem or Vayera Hashem El Avraham, Lefi Shishmo Ve'atzmuto Hayushne Hafachim. The very essence of Avram were two polar opposite characteristics. Kishmo Avraham, al shem Av Hamon Goyim, Avram is the father of multiple nations. Moreh indicates al hasrara v'hahit nas'ut, of how exalted and elevated of a personality Avraham was in his society. The atzmuto, and yet on a personal level, haya anav mikol, Avraham was one of the most humble people. How do I know? Kichein Moreh, because this is indicated at the end of this chapter, when he's in the midst of the prayer for Sodom and Amorah, what does Avraham say? Ve'anochi afar ve'efer. I am nothing but dust and ashes. Says the Kli Yakar, if on what merit did Avraham merit, what aspect of his personality did Avraham merit a visit from the Holy One, blessed be He? Says the Kli Yakar, not because he was such an outstanding, prominent leader in the community, because he was incredibly humble. How does the text share this with us? By not even identifying his name. Vayera Elov. To him. We don't even know who he is. Because some people will claim that God is influenced in his decision to interact with people based on what their great accomplishments are. Avraham is the Av Hamon Goyim, therefore God gravitates to Avraham. Sister Kli Yakar, there's nothing further from the truth. Why does HaKadosh Baruch Hu gravitate to Avraham? Because he is the most humble of people. Ve'anochi afar va'efer. And we will explain when we get to this, what's the difference between afar and efer. It's not just synonyms, they are very different symbolisms borne out by many such illustrations. And therefore, the Torah says, Vayera Elov. I don't even want to tell you to whom he is appearing. It's because of his anivut and his personality, humble personality, he now merited being exposed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We'll stop here, continue next Devach.